This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction with Chicago baseball expert Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
One of the reasons I'm going down earlier than I normally would is just because Japan is 6 weeks away. Like, our season starts on March 18th. Like, it's coming soon. So we don't, you know, the normal start for everybody else is March 28th. You know, we're starting 10 days early. So it's kind of like you got to get ramped up and ready to go.
Let's go. I'm ramped up. Bruce Levine's ramped up. Ryan McGuffey, Bruce Levine, Inside the Clubhouse, 670 The Score. That was Ian Happ on the Compound Podcast, which is now part of Odyssey Sports and the Odyssey Network. He's going down early. Bruce Levine's going down as soon as this show's over. We got plenty to discuss because the Cubs report tomorrow. Pitchers and catchers, it's like Christmas Eve over here in the Score studios. We have Cubs hitting coach Dustin Kelly at 9:30, White Sox assistant GM Josh Barfield at 10 a.m. 312-644-6767. If you guys want to be a part of the show out there, we want you. We encourage you. Bruce, we're jacked up, my friend. It'll be the last time I see you in person for quite a while.
Be headed to spring training later today. Cubs start tomorrow with Craig Counsell and Jed Hoyer doing their usual state of the Cubs when they start. The Chicago White Sox will start on Wednesday in Glendale. And rarely, if ever, I remember this happening. My favorite day of the year, okay, is when the NFL stops and when spring training begins. And rarely, I don't remember ever, that's ever happened on the same day.
Yeah, where you actually leave the facility and go home and watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah. No, it's never happened. I mean, because, you know, spring training, first of all, the Super Bowl over the last 5 or 7 years has gotten later and later and later, right?
Exactly.
So now we're in February, the last three or four years, and spring training always starts later than this. However, Cubs are going to Japan. Therefore, they're starting February 9th, White Sox on the 12th. So I'm really excited about tomorrow. Tomorrow's my that's everything you said about in the opening. Tomorrow's that day. I hope other people feel that way. Again, Ryan and I are here, 312-644-6767. Some things that we're thinking about going into spring training, Ryan.
Yeah, we have burning questions. We have both sides of town. We have kind of our burning questions, the biggest spring training questions on our mind. We certainly would like to hear yours, either side of town, 312-644-6767. Before we get to our biggest questions of spring training, Bruce, let's get an update because you've been all over this story.
You've been updating us all week on the Alex Bregman situation. What is the latest with Alex Bregman to the Cubs, if that's a possibility?
The latest is that Alex Bregman doesn't have the deal he wants yet. So if you want to believe there's a six-year deal out there with options and opt-outs and all kinds of ins and outs for the player and the team, that's a possibility. Do you want to believe it's Detroit, Boston, or Toronto? Toronto basically came out and said, it's not going to be us, okay? We haven't heard anything out of Boston lately. Detroit's been out there in the weeds, and the Cubs have been at the forefront of creativity, trying to find a way to make this work. Now, let's get into the minutiae of why it can work, why it can't work. Let's go back to the Jason Hayward contract. Okay. Let's go back to the Dansby Swanson contract. Mm-hmm. Now, Swanson has 5 years left in his contract. We found out he was injured last year. So he's probably going to get a little bit of a hall pass, knowing that that wasn't the player that he could be last year because of injury. And he, you know, admirably played through it. So, but we don't know if $27 million is what the Cubs are happy about paying him. Certainly the Hayward contract, you can cut that many different ways. The $184 million in a lot of people's eyes was a vast overpay. So looking at another 6 or 7 year contract for Alex Bregman at age 31, I think there has to be an awful lot of engaging between Tom Ricketts, the business office with the Chicago Cubs, the front office of the baseball department with Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins, convincing everybody that a deal for Bregman is going to be worthwhile, not only for 2025, but down the line. And I think those conversations continue in-house, okay? How creative can we be? Can we wait this out? Can it be a shorter term? Mm-hmm. Will there be opt-outs for the player? Will there be opt-outs for us? Will there be buyouts in the years 5, 6? So the creativity of a contract is something that Scott Boras is one of the best at in the game, okay? How creative can he be? We saw the Pete Alonso contract this week. Was creative in the fact that the player is getting $30 million real dollars to play this year. He also has an option for $24 million next year. If he has a great year, he can opt out and take his 45 home runs somewhere else and, you know, make himself 6 years times $30 million.
Okay? Yeah, that's part of it.
That's the game.
That's the game. And maybe it was like, you know what? I don't want to get to spring training, not have a home. At that point, let's go toward the place I'm most comfortable and familiar, and I know exactly what I'm getting into. I'll get my money up front, and we'll go. The Cubs owe Dansby Swanson $137 million still. So for the people out there saying, just sign Bregman. There's a 3-1-2. What's holding up the Bregman signing? This is ridiculous. Alex Bregman's holding up the Alex Bregman signing.
That's right.
The reason he hasn't signed right now is because teams aren't necessarily lining up going, hey, Alex, what can we do? Come on, let's give you exactly what you want. That's not the case here. The reason he's unsigned is because his asking price is more than any team right now is willing to meet.
What we don't know is if Bregman is telling his agent, look, I don't want to be that guy that walks into spring training 2 weeks late.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy that's catching up as to what being a Cub is, being ready for Japan on March 18th. I want to be in camp. We don't know that. We will know that by the end of this weekend if he hasn't signed somewhere, okay, and if it's not with the Cubs. But, you know, everything that – you know, I've looked at tells me the Cubs are as serious as any team about this, but the creativity of the contract and the length of the contract continues to be the problem. And he really hasn't gotten a 6 year deal for $180 million, right? That's not out there right now. So what he has to do is decide, can I take of the Pete Alonso contract. Mm-hmm. Is that available to me with the Cubs? Do the Cubs have $30 million available for him now to put him in the contract? put him in the lineup. More importantly, when the metrics people and the baseball people and the ownership gets involved, they go, does this player make us a contender for the next 5 years?
Right.
You know, is he going to help?
And 2027 is staring everybody in the face.
Right.
And that's what teams, you talk about creativity. That's what teams don't want to get stuck with. And I get it. You already have Dansby Swanson locked through 2029 at a high AAV. And you're talking about age 33, 34, 35. And people, you know, the fan and everybody and us, Bruce, is always like, who cares about year 8, 9, and 10? Get him now. Well, because 8, 9, and 10 are going to, when you get to those years, you're going to sit there and go, well, we can't add because these guys are a part of our roster.
The difference this time is, you have a right fielder that has a year left on a contract.
Yep.
You have a closer that has a year left on a contract. All indications are they're trying to win this year. Now, of course, if Hoyer or Mr. Ricketts were sitting here right now, they'd say, we try to win every year. Okay, how hard are you trying? This year, it appears to be that they're really trying hard to win. Not just compete, but win. And if that's the case, Bregman fits the bill somehow if it's not a six-year, $180 million contract.
1,000%. Great transition into our biggest spring training questions with the Cubs. Before that, I would like to, for those of you just listening and don't know, and we know the Bears lost their matriarch earlier this week with Virginia McCaskey passing at age 102. This morning we learned of 2001 NFL Coach of the Year, the Bears' fifth most wins in history as a coach. Dick Geron passed away at age 74, so our condolences to the Geron family, a really nice guy. All right, Bruce, to the biggest spring training questions. Let's start with the Cubs. We got a lot listed here. We saw Nico Hoerner. We saw some video this week of him playing catch. He's already reported. Ian Happ on his Compound podcast talked about Nico being down there. There's two reasons. Obviously, they have the early start, but he has a wrist injury. He had surgery in the offseason that he's recovering from. We don't know his status. You'll learn a lot more starting tomorrow. But that's one of the biggest questions, and it leads to Matt Shaw. Is Nico Hoerner going to be healthy enough to start the season at second base? If so, or if not, what does that mean for Matt Shaw?
Well, and also the Bregman thing. You know, we're getting ahead of ourselves with Bregman, but if Bregman is there and if Hoerner is available, what happens to Shaw? You know, he's back at AAA, right? Or the creativity part is somebody gets traded. Does Hoerner get traded at some point? So these are a lot of the, you know, things that I'm looking at going into the season. I, for one, am a huge Nico Hoerner fan.
Me too.
Maybe because I'm old school in the sense that I think a player like Hoerner belongs near the top of the lineup and that he does so many little things. He runs so well. He maneuvers the ball so well. He plays every day. His defense is gold glove caliber every year. To me, he's your baseball player, okay? The modern manager, including Craig Counsell, goes, yeah, that's all fine and good, but I need somebody with a better OPS in the top five of my lineup because we have to score runs, and the best way to score runs is by somebody slugging or getting on base and scoring. And Horner's overall OPS is, you know, not approaching 800 at this point. So, again, you get hung up on the number. I think the player, for me, exemplifies exactly what a baseball player is. Okay, that's just me. Again, Counsell is the successful manager. He's the one that makes out the lineup. He talked to Hoerner last year in spring training, and he said, I'm not batting you in the top of the order. I think you're going to be a really important part of our lineup toward the end. And, okay, as time went on and needs were there, Hoerner from time to time did bat at the top of the lineup, number two or number one. You know, if you remember the year before, he let off. So, again, I think he's a really important player. I don't think the Cubs necessarily look at him the same way I do.
I'm with you, but you just, to me, defined a guy that is a top of the lineup type guy. You know who's led the Cubs in runs combined the last two seasons? Nico Hoerner. You talked about scoring runs. The guy does score runs. He led the Cubs in doubles last year. He's a stolen base machine. He's a 30-30 guy, not for the power, but he's a 30 doubles, 30 steals guy. And as you mentioned, the glove is elite. So this was part of the problem, and we've been talking about it for months in terms of lineup and lineup construction and lineup protection. Okay. I don't know if the Cubs are built to put Nico Hoerner much lower than the top of the lineup because of that's one of my questions is, do they have enough offense?
Well,
I don't know.
Then we're bounced back to the Bregman story.
Right. Well, last year they got in that the problem of great month, bad month, great month. And you can't sit there and have 10-1 games, 10-1 games, and then flip it for the next week and get beat 10-1, 10-2. And we're going to talk to Dustin Kelly, Cubs hitting coach, at the bottom of the hour about this. But Nico Hoerner, right now, he's a huge question because the log jam and Alex Bregman, the puzzle, it's like if you bring in Alex Bregman, who is the odd man out? Is it Matt Shaw? Is it Nico Hoerner? Is he healthy enough? That might be part of it, too. You might learn that he's not going to start the season, and he starts the season on the IL. We don't know.
So I had a conversation with Scott Boras this week, and I'm not name-dropping. I'm using this only to tell you that he made one of the more critical points to me when he said, okay, if you assume we're talking to Detroit, Boston, Toronto, Chicago, the other teams that have been out there, and Houston for Bregman, which team does he not make a better team? I mean, does Boston chances of competing in the American League East go way up? Does Toronto's, okay? Does Detroit's chances of overtaking Cleveland and Minnesota, does that take a step up? Do the Cubs automatically become the favorites to win the division in the National League Central? And I think that point was, you know, something I couldn't move away from, okay? He does.
He's a 40-war player in his career.
I understand he had a down year last year. He's a 4-war player,
yeah,
if you believe in it. Look, the guy is a 60 extra base man per year.
Yep.
That's a really good player.
That's a premium.
That's a really good player, and I don't like war because it includes base running and defense, okay?
Let's leave it out then.
Right. I like slug. I like extra base hits. I like runs and RBIs, okay? He didn't have a ton of RBIs last year, but he was on a team that had guys that drove in runs before him. So with that in mind, are the Cubs – here's the question I think the Cubs should be asking themselves. Does he make us, for the next 2 years, a World Series contender?
The answer is yes. So you're saying sign the man.
Well, it's not my money.
I know. If that's the philosophy, I'm signing all these guys. He makes everybody better. I'm looking at where he ranks right now in like active slugging leaders. He's 27th actively in slug. Right? Guess who's right with him? Cody Bellinger. And you just let Cody Bellinger, you had to trade Cody Bellinger. So I'm with you. Give me the premium players, as many as possible, especially if you're talking about winning now, which the Cubs have built this year. It just feels, Bruce, as you get on a plane to go to spring training, we talk about the biggest spring training questions for the Cubs. I feel, as I'm excited about the idea of Arizona and seeing pitchers and catchers and et cetera, I feel like the Cubs are incomplete. Like, I feel like they have a great thesis. They've researched it. They've sold it to me. And the conclusion is just lacking something.
It's lacking what it's lacked for the last couple of years, except for the last 3 months of 2023, a dynamic hitter.
Yes.
Right? Now, is this guy going to lead the league in home runs, RBIs, runs? No, he's not. But what he's going to do is he's going to drive in runs. He's going to add to the professional at-bats of winning a ball game every day. Now, I can't tell you I believe he's worth 6 years, okay? That's a conundrum. I want this guy on the team. I don't want him for 6 years, okay?
I agree with that.
So you have to somewhere in the middle, you know, you have to take your fan off, fan hat off, put your baseball management hat on, and understand that, oh, okay, maybe the last 2 to 3 years in this contract, he's not going to be that good. Are we prepared for that and for Swanson slowing down at the same time? Are we going to be stuck in the mud like an NBA team, not being able to move because we have these heavy contracts that we have to watch dissipate as they move forward?
And this is where I think you have to ask the question, to, if you're going 6 years with a player, and no one can answer this because baseball is different. But when they added John Lester, when they added Jason Hayward, their goal was one thing, World Series. Now the goal is, let's get in the playoffs. To me, if you're getting a six-year player, the question should be, if I was sitting in a boardroom with the front office, I'd say, can this guy win us a World Series? Because if he can, and then World Series is the goal, then 6 years to me, fine, if that's the angle. But I don't think that's the discussion being had right now. I don't think Alex Bregman also, I think he gives the Cubs a much better chance to get in the dance to be a World Series participant slash contender. It doesn't guarantee them anything.
So again, you know, conversations at Wrigley Field going on. We love the player. How can we get him for 3 years? No, we can't. We don't want him for 6 years. I know you don't. We still need the player. Can we find a middle area? I think that's where Scott Boras and these teams are right now.
Look, I think I did not think we'd be sitting here on February 8th discussing Alex Bregman and the Cubs still. I really didn't. Which is why on February 8th, I think the Cubs are in a really good spot.
Right.
As each day goes and gets closer and closer to the regular season, and especially with the Cubs who start in 6 weeks, I think it favors the Cubs. Creativity is going to be more likely than right. The other way around.
And give the Cubs front office credit for one thing that we haven't talked much about, and that is the Bellinger deal. As much as fans hated the idea that they traded him, the reality that they had the flexibility to trade him in that 3-year contract was really essential to their offseason here. And the reason why you've been able to add other people and still talk about Bregman at the same time is because they were able to trade that contract. Did they give it away? Yes. They said, please take our $30 million in the player. We like the player. Thank you. He didn't quite contribute the way we thought he should for the money he's making. We've moved on, and we've moved other players in here. We got one of the top players in baseball to play right field for us this year.
312-644-6767, some text line coming in. And I see both sides here. I like this one a lot, the 312. Bregman is a winner, and he's got some nasty in him. I think the Cubs need that. I kind of agree with that. I think the nasty is he plays with an edge. He plays with a chip.
Is there anybody in Chicago that still hates him for fact that he was a part of a team that cheated to win?
I think we're good. I mean, I didn't like it, but life goes on. The Astros have been winning ever since.
They have.
So
they haven't been banging any garbage can tops or anything. They just continue to have the best players and win and go to the ALCS every single year.
708, pick a lane. Don't worry about Mr. Ricketts' money. Okay, take on contracts and worry about money later. Okay. But I like the idea of that. It's just like, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's not my money. It's his. Sign everyone.
Well, look, don't ever tell the fan he's wrong, okay?
I'm not saying he's wrong.
No, I'm not saying. I don't agree with everything. I agree with the idea that they deserve a championship caliber team every year. White Sox fans deserve it just as much. It's just going to have to wait a little bit. Before we go to break, I'm going to encourage everybody out there to support your local news media. The Sun-Times are going through some tough times right now. They're offering some buyouts. Sun-Times have some of the greatest reporters and people working at that newspaper. I've been reading that paper since I was 6 years old. You got to support them. You got to support. This can't be a one newspaper town, even though newspapers aren't as relevant as they used to be. They're still relevant. If you want great reporting, great news all the way around, just support the Tribune and the Sun-Times.
No doubt. Amen, Bruce. Well said. Well said. We got Cubs hitting coach Dustin Kelly on the other side of the break here. But before that, Cubs outfielder Ian Happ co-hosts the Compound Podcast, which we heard from at the top of the show, which is now a part of Odyssey Sports. New episodes drop each Wednesday with the latest discussion on the Cubs and baseball. Download and listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. We didn't even discuss the big questions yet for spring training questions for the White Sox. They report on Wednesday. We'll get to those and a lot more, plus your phone calls. The lines are starting to light up here at 312-644-6767. Dustin Kelly, Cubs hitting coach, when we come back on Inside the Clubhouse. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey at 670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
And I'm okay with that, right? Staying on the ball. Matt Shaw, nice.
Deep to right field. Capel back. It's off the wall. Matt Shaw racing around second, heading for third. It's an RBI triple.
A lot of excitement for that dude, Matt Shaw. That call courtesy of our marquee. 21 homer season. A lot of people jacked up about seeing him on the north side this year. Time to go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. And we have a friend of the program, Bruce.
The hitting coach of the Chicago Cubs, Dustin Kelly, nice enough to take a few minutes out of his busy day in Mesa, Arizona, to come on and talk some Chicago Cub baseball. Dustin, thanks so much. First and foremost, give me a weather report. I'm coming there later this afternoon if I can get out of town here. Is it 75 sunny, and are you ready for me?
You know, I don't want to make all of you guys jealous, but since you're coming out here, I'll give you a little report. It's been perfect. It's been 75, 72, baby. No wind, not a cloud in the sky. Obviously, the golf tournament's going on out here, so there's a lot good going on along with some Cubs baseball.
Dustin, let's start off with the soundbite we played. Matt Shaw getting a clear shot at making the Chicago Cubs 26-man roster this year. We'll be talking to Craig Counsell about at what position, where he'll be at, how many games he's going to play here or there. As a hitter, what do you see in Matt Shaw, and what is special about him?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing you look at is just everywhere that he's been, he's just hit. And obviously there's some defensive stuff that he's, you know, continuing to work on. And offensively, there's a couple things that we're going to target. But he's hit everywhere he's gone. He's hit in college. He's hit in the minor leagues. You know, had a great year last year starting in Double-A and performed well there. And then once he got his opportunity in Triple-A, he was actually even better there. So it's a pure hitter. I mean, there's some unorthodox to it. You know, he's got a little bit bigger of a leg kick, and there's some mechanical things that maybe don't look like some other guys, but he gets that bat to the ball and he hits it hard.
Cubs hitting coach Dustin Kelly joining Ryan McGuffey, Bruce Levine on Inside the Clubhouse here on 670 The Score. Dustin, we were talking at the top of the show here about just how unique it is that the Super Bowl, usually the Super Bowl means there's a baton handoff to spring training. Yet in this unique case, you kind of are doing both at once, where you guys report tomorrow, the Super Bowl's tomorrow night, but it's because you guys are starting your season in Japan. What is the challenge of starting the season overseas in that two-game unique series and then coming back here before kicking it off in the States?
Yeah, I think just that timeline, right? I mean, our guys are, you know, especially some of our older guys or the veteran guys, they kind of know those dates. That internal clock starts happening, you know, the end of December, early January. We talked about it at the end of the year. Counts did a good job of like kind of prepping these guys of, hey, we're going to look to like opening day. So opening day is that day against the Dodgers. So let's work backwards that way. And not necessarily look at the calendar of, you know, where you're going to be on, you know, March 27th or 28th. It's like, hey, we're going to try and figure out where you need to be and what you need to do leading up to that first day in Japan.
So, Dustin, you know, I've been talking to Craig Counsell, as some of the other media members have all year, about what is it going to take for Pete Crow Armstrong to finally climb that ladder and be able to hit in the top of the order. And we know it's, you know, there are a lot of things involved, including on base percentage and just, you know, I think that there's metrics and then there's the eye test. Which one are you more interested in when it comes to Pete Crow Armstrong, and what do you think you're going to see out of him this spring?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both, right? The eye test is just more about just how comfortable is he and how can he slow his at-bats down? How do you process, you know, the first 0-for-4 and then going into the next day and not letting that affect the next at-bat? So that's kind of the eye test part. And then the metrics part, I mean, obviously, you know, he's going to walk. He's going to need to walk a little bit more, and I think that's going to come with, you know, him just being a little bit more mature, having more time in the leagues and just understanding what it takes to manage that at bat. But we saw a really good version of Pete last year, you know, at the end of starting in that July stretch, really going all the way into September. And I think that's what Pete Crow Armstrong is. He's a guy that is going to be able to get on base. There's definitely slug in there. So he's got a real opportunity to have a great year, and we're all expecting him to do so.
What did you learn from last season when you guys rode that roller coaster? You scored runs in bunches. You had a couple of months where you were just raking. Runs were, you know, coming easy almost at times, and then there were months where you just couldn't get over the hump. Do you learn, like, how do you take a 30,000-foot view of last year and learn from it and apply it to taking it into a new season, new players, et cetera, to make sure that it's more consistent rather than, okay, we had a great April, we went in a funk in May, June, and now we're chasing in July, August, and September?
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned it. It's, you have to be able to step back and take that 30-foot view and just kind of look back on it. And there's definitely things to learn. I mean, obviously the production part of it, once we saw Amaya and Pete and that kind of that bottom half of the lineup really start to like catch their stride. And we knew they were young going into it. Miggy didn't have a ton of at bats and Pete was just kind of coming back into it. So once those guys got rolling, it really turned our lineup over. And that's when you started to see us rolling. And obviously guys are going to have peaks and valleys. You know that that's what happens, you know, at 162 game season. And, you know, we know that that's going to happen, but just trying to minimize those valleys a little bit and keep guys on the right track. And, you know, once that bottom part of the lineup stepped up, it was a fun offense to watch. And we were chasing a little bit and just came up a little bit short at the end. But the lineup was pretty darn good there for a three-month stretch.
Dustin Kelly, the Cubs hitting coach, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse. He's Ryan, I'm Bruce. Talking baseball every Saturday, 9 to 11, 52 weeks, sometimes 50 weeks out of the year. Dustin, you've already become a more brilliant hitting coach with the acquisition of Kyle Tucker. Tell us how a hitter who is considered maybe one of the top 5-7 players in the game all around and certainly offensively impacts a lineup just by being there. What is the osmosis level involved having a Kyle Tucker?
Yeah, just the presence alone. You know, obviously, what he's done in this league for the past 4 or 5 years has been really, really impressive. Like you said, he's a top hitter in all of baseball. He walks. He doesn't strike out. You know, he's really like an all-around hitter. Like, if you're going to build, you know, a left-handed bat that's going to be in the middle of your lineup, you look at, you know, what he does offensively, and you just want to plug that into the middle. So, you know, there's a presence in there. Obviously, the production, you know, he's just going to make that lineup so much better just by standing in that box every single night and just let him go perform the way that he's done in the past.
What have your conversations been about so far?
Yeah, just really trying to get to know him. I mean, that's the tricky part about when you acquire these guys that are, you know, that are established major leaguers. They have their routines. They know exactly what they're trying to do and what makes them successful. So, you know, it's just conversations of like, hey, what have you done in the past? Is there anything that we're, you know, kind of searching for? Once you get into one of those funks, like, what do I need to look for as a hitting coach to make sure that we kind of stop it before it gets too low? So those guys have such a good feel for how they perform and why they perform that you just have to kind of get it out of them verbally of, this is what I want you to look for. And when it starts going there, this is kind of how I've gotten out of some of those funks in the past. So just conversations about that. And then getting to know the person. I mean, that's, you know, we say it all the time. This is a game of relationships. So once you get to know the person, the other stuff will just kind of fall into place.
We saw Seiya Suzuki have success last year as a DH. I mean, he in about 60 games, he had 300 and 846 OPS. I know there's been some talk, oh, he doesn't want to play DH, but it sounds like he's warming up to that idea. Is it a little of the same when you talk about a guy? I mean, came over as a veteran player from Japan. He's a vet now here in the big leagues. Is it the same kind of approach as you have with Kyle in terms of, okay, like, he has his process to get ready, but if he's going to be your kind of your plug-and-play DH, what are those conversations like? And obviously, when you have a Kyle Tucker come to a lineup, what does that take pressure off a player like, say, a Suzuki to do too much?
Yeah, I mean, I think it probably takes the pressure off of everybody a little bit, just because you know that there's that bat in the middle of that lineup. And, you know, Seiya has DH'd before, like you mentioned, he's been successful at it. And you know, the one thing that I say about Seiya when people ask me about him is he is a pure hitter. I mean, it is so consistent. You look at his numbers the last couple of years and what he was able to do, especially after he got over a couple of those injuries that he had early in the year, the last 2 years. It is as pure of a hitter as we have in this game. And, you know, him and Tucker in the middle of that part and Dansby, and there's a lot of guys that are going to benefit from those two guys just being in the top part of that lineup.
Dustin, the 2000 version of a hitting coach was one hitting coach, guys standing around the cage during BP, other players helping with guys saying, "That's you, that's not you." A lot of help from players and the hitting coach. This day and age, there's a hitting coach, there's one, usually two assistants, there's metrics people assisting. Take us into a hitter's meeting before a game and describe how, let's say, Nico Horner is sitting down with you and the other hitting people. Describe how in-depth that is for that day's pitcher.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into it from a number of different people. You know, most of the hitting coaches are there, usually there by 11 o'clock in the morning for a 6:40 game. And, you know, a lot of that starts with the game plan of who the starter is that night. We have an advanced team that helps out with, you know, putting together that advanced report. And, you know, the hitting coaches help come up with the message. And we'll sit down with the entire group and kind of go over a general game plan of, you know, what this pitcher does, how does he attack us? And, you know, the main thing is how we are going to beat him. And that's kind of what we talk about is like, we're on offense, right? And offense means that we are taking it to him. It's not necessarily, you know, what he does to us. It's how do we beat this guy tonight? So you have that, you sit down with the group and we've had a really good group the last couple of years that is vocal. You know, you have some veterans that have seen these pitchers before and they have real life experience of standing in that batter's box. So you want to get those guys talking and, you know, they're giving their input. And then you have individual conversations when you're standing in the batting cage with those guys before the game. And hey, what's your plan? What are you looking for? What has he done to you in the past? Like, are you going to attack the sinker tonight or are you going to try and stay off the bottom of the plate and look for something a little bit up? But there's a lot of conversations. I'd say that's about, you know, 70% of our conversations throughout the day is just how are we going to attack this pitcher and how are we going to beat him? But there's a lot of work that goes into it and we have a really good group that helps me out with it.
So Bruce and I are like kids on Christmas Eve because, you know, spring training's here and you've already teased us with the weather report. And so we're doing some kind of burning questions here on the show today about, you know, the burning questions of Cubs camp, Sox camp, et cetera. And we're also doing one player you're most looking forward to seeing. I'm not asking you to single anyone out in particular here, but there's got to be some excitement for you to see somebody, whether it's Kyle or maybe a guy who had a rough year last year or somebody you're laying eyes on for the first time. Who would you pick?
Yeah, there's two that come to mind. Obviously, Kyle, just because of, you know, he's such a big addition, and it's going to be fun to watch him in that lineup. But really excited about Dansby. He obviously battled some injuries last year. He wasn't him in the batter's box. And, you know, it was a lower half issue that he just really couldn't. We just couldn't get over it to make him feel really good offensively. And I think, you know, obviously with the procedure that he had in the offseason and now he's going to be healthy, I'm looking forward to watching him and seeing him in a really good position with his lower half and kind of get into some of the positions that we struggled to get into with his, you know, with his stance and some of his swing stuff that we talked about. So Dan, I'm hoping for, you know, a really, really good year out of Dansby this year being healthy.
So I'm breaking the reporter's 101 rule of killing the lead by saying we don't want you to get in trouble talking about Nico Horner before the manager and Horner talk for himself, okay? So my friendships and relationships are more important than a cheap go-from-behind type thing here. Is there anything you can report to us on where Horner's at and what he's doing right now?
Yeah, not anything that I can report on, but I will say that I see Nico a lot. So, you know, Nico is he's one of the smartest players I've actually ever been around, especially when it comes to talking, hitting, and approach. So, you know, this injury for him actually, you know, slowed him down a little bit in the offseason, but I think it also gave him the opportunity and for us to just talk and kind of talk about some of the stuff that we wanted to do as opposed to just doing. So he's been out here for a couple weeks now, and we've had some awesome conversations and doing the amount of work that we're allowed to do. So I'll leave it at that, but I do see Nico a lot. So that'll give you some insight.
Yeah, that helps when you underline a lot. That's I think Mr. Council will fill us in tomorrow when everybody reports and then the media shows up and starts asking their annoying questions like I do so well. Dustin, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you and the rest of the crew there starting tomorrow.
All the best.
Have a great day.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Cubs head coach Dustin Kelly joining us on Inside the Clubhouse here on 670 to the Score.
A bad reporting job by me.
No, I liked what you did. You tried to nice, you know, you tried to find the info with covering your ass all at the same time. You're one of one, Bruce, and that's what I love about you, my friend. Join Austin Huff of US 99 and Circus Sports Illinois tomorrow at Blue Bayou, 3734 North Southport in Chicago for a very special big game bash from 2 to 8. I guess I'll have to go since Bruce can't. There's 30 high-def screens, amazing New Orleans-inspired food, and, of course, the big game. The party is exclusive for Circus Sports Illinois customers. Download the app to get in and RSVP today. We have White Sox assistant GM Josh Barfield coming up at the top of the hour. Bruce and I still have our burning questions. What are yours? 312-644-6767. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. It's Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ryan McGuffey and Bruce Levine here on Inside the Clubhouse asking our biggest spring training questions as Bruce borders his private jet later today.
It's Mr. Reinsdorf's.
Are you in a middle seat?
He makes me stand.
That's fair. You should.
For a free ride?
It's only 3.5-4 hours.
I mean, I've been accused of that for all these years, so I might as well go with it.
At some point, just ride
just
with it.
Just go
let
with
everybody
it.
Else, let everybody else have their thoughts. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phone lines. Chuck's got a question. Chuck, what's going on? Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Yeah, I was questioning your statement that the Cubs are going for it this year.
Okay.
I don't see it.
Well, when you go out and get a guy for 1 year like Tucker and like for Presley, how else would you view it? Why would you be trading?
Why would you be trading Bellinger?
They traded Bellinger so that they could be more flexible in their roster and be able to get a closer and be able to have a right fielder, use money for both.
You traded the wrong guy.
Who should they have traded?
Suzuki should have been the one shipped out.
Okay.
160 strikeouts. That's the problem there. They don't make contact enough.
Okay.
App and Suzuki, both over 160 strikeouts last year. 25% of their at-bats.
That's baseball in 2025,
right,
my friend. I mean, whether you're
right,
like
though.
It or not,
I mean, I understand your thought process. Nobody could understand the Bellinger thing, but it's baseball economics. If you move the parts around, you will see how they're spending their money differently. $15 million for Tucker rather than $30 million for Bellinger. You have $14 million left for Presley. You've gotten two for the price of one. Do you need another hitter? Yes, you do, and that's why we continue to talk about Alex Bregman.
And Bregman, to Chuck's point, has never struck out 100 times in a season. So you talk about a guy who knows the strike zone, balances it. As a matter of fact, he's pretty much a one-for-one strikeout-to-walk ratio. 646 career strikeouts, 576.
The walks were way down last year.
Yeah, the walks were down for like the first time ever. He had 44 walks.
Yeah, he was going into his free agent year, right?
Hey, Bruce, I have a question for you about the White Sox. How do they make it through a 162-game season with the arms that they currently have? That's my big burning question. We have that question. We can think about that. You can ponder it out there. 312-644-6767. On the other side of a break, the White Sox assistant general manager, Josh Barfield, is going to join us as we ask him these questions and more on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.